These are the sounds of Zermatt, taking you on a virtual visit to the mountain resort. Could the virtual be good enough someday?
It's already a reality for some of the younger generation.
And as virtual reality glasses and goggles hit the market, the National Tourism Marketing Body, Switzerland Tourism, is hoping people will still come for real. The number of visitors has gone down over the past few years. To turn things around, Switzerland Tourism is launching a grand tour.
Switzerland is made for touring, is perfect for touring.
You're listening to the Swiss Info program for May 2nd. I'm Susan Masika, and I'll be your tour guide today. The Grand Tour. In the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, it was popular for wealthy young Englishmen to spend a couple of years on the continent, doing a grand tour of its cultural pearls. They'd typically start in Paris and work their way to Rome, via Switzerland, of course. Among them were the English Romantic poets, like Lord Byron, who found inspiration on the shores of Lake Geneva, known as Lac Léman in French.
Clear placid Léman, thy contrasted lake, with the wild world I dwelt in, is a thing which warns me, with its stillness, to forsake Earth's troubled waters for a purer spring. This quiet sail is as a noiseless wing to waft me from distraction. Once I loved, torn oceans roar, but thy soft murmuring sounds sweet as if a sister's voice reproved, that I, with stern delights, should e'er have been so moved.
Fast forward to the present day, when far more people are travelling. Switzerland Tourism hopes to bring them here, and has developed a grand tour of the country's top 100 highlights. I've got their 100-page booklet right here. Let's see what they've got. So the route is about 1,600 kilometers long, and it traverses 5 major mountain passes. It includes 22 lakes and 13 UNESCO World Heritage Sites, like the old town of Bern with its terracotta rooftops and the long snowy ribbon of the Aletsch Glacier.
We believe we have a lot to offer in Switzerland. The variety on a small scale is amazing. I mean, Switzerland is really the case. You travel an hour, you speak a new language, you experience a new scenery, culture. And so we said Switzerland is made for touring, is perfect for touring.
That was Switzerland Tourism Director Jörg Schmid, who says it took 3 years to develop the tour in cooperation with all the project partners. One target audience for the Grand Tour would be travellers from the UK, the inventors of the original Grand Tour. Gavin Tolman is the CEO of Trafalgar Tours, which created its Secrets of Switzerland package together with Switzerland Tourism.
I think the Grand Tour has had a very positive and profound impact of being able to showcase all that Switzerland has to offer. And so on an international stage, there is no doubt it is something that, if packaged correctly, could resonate everywhere in the world. Because, you know, it's a great balance of a combination of the known as well as the unknown parts of Switzerland. And I think that's what customers are looking for.
Similarly, Rory Byrne of luxury tour operator Powder Byrne says it's an easy destination to sell.
Switzerland is a beautiful natural country. So it's very hard in Switzerland to really not be close to a fantastic view, fantastic lake, fantastic waterfall, fantastic mountain. You know, it really, I mean, they call it the chocolate box sort of background. And it is. And sometimes, you know, if you're here a lot in Switzerland or you live in Switzerland, you kind of take it for granted.
But there's one feature that certainly isn't an attraction, the Swiss franc. After the National Bank dropped the exchange rate cap on the euro, the destination became more expensive. So this grand tour will come at a grand price, especially for Eurozone visitors. Tourism director Jörg Schmid doesn't seem too worried.
If you can't be cheaper, you have to be better. And that's the strategy we really go ahead. We have to live with the Swiss franc. The Swiss franc has now for a period of 50 years been a strong currency and has over the past 50 years constantly increased against the British pound, the dollar, the euro that didn't exist so long, the Deutsche Mark as well. People that visit Switzerland, they know that this is not a bargain.
And Rory Byrne stands behind his product. He says clients know it would be cheaper to arrange their own ski holidays, but they're willing to pay a premium.
But I was surprised this winter that we didn't have any client mention how expensive Switzerland was, which was surprising, especially during February, which is our peak month, which is just after the sort of crisis. And we had people just got on with it, bought their Swiss francs and paid on their credit card and went home.
In terms of quality, he's seen progress in Switzerland over the past few decades, but also some room for improvement.
I think one thing I will say over the last 30 years is that Switzerland has improved a lot in its software. Generally speaking, you know, 30 years ago or even 25 years ago or 20 years ago, the service was very sharp and wasn't as friendly as notoriously as the Austrians. I think that's changed a lot in Switzerland. I think Switzerland has become friendlier. I think the staff are generally very good, and I think that that is an improvement. On the hardware front, the problem is sustaining luxury is they're not very good at developing their rooms. They have a very slow development program. They spend too much money, perhaps in the wrong areas.
Such as?
Well, they're very keen on spending money on mass infrastructure such as spas and things, but don't bother with the bedrooms. You know, to me, the bedrooms are important, and it doesn't need to be expensive to have a good room. But the renovation programs are too slow. A lot of luxury hotels have inconsistency in rooms. Some are very good and some are very poor. And those sort of issues. And I think the problem with the internet is that people, it's instant. So, you know, in the future, you know, viewing your room before you book it is the future. And if you don't have, if you have a grotty room, no matter how good you can, you know, get Hollywood to come and make it good, it's still a grotty room.
But even if everything were perfect, is something like a grand tour good enough to keep people coming? Professor Remy Walbaum of the Hotel School in Lausanne isn't so convinced.
I think it's okay for 2015, but it is not going to be enough for a while, because people will want things designed for themselves individually. And this is an answer to a community, the community of people who wish to travel together and people who are prepared to share things and so on. And I have the feeling that people are going to wish to travel on their own. And you can already tell that with some of the young Chinese people who are now coming to visit Switzerland on their own. They're no longer part of groups. And that is a big risk for them because they don't talk the language and they are taking that risk. So I'm personally convinced that the kind of answers for group is going to be something which will disappear or dissolve.
I suppose, though, the advantage of something like a grand tour, it's already outlining all of the highlights. People can sort of feel like they're individuals, but in fact, it's all mapped out for them. Do you see it like that at all?
It's one way of looking at it, but people, as you know, they want to take pictures of that make them feel very different. So if I've been on the grand tour and everyone sends the same pictures, then I'm not going to be seen as a different person. So I think people will want to be seen as individuals, as different people. And therefore, as a consequence, they will want to escape from the grand tour and they will want to go off the road.
And I guess then that's maybe one of the downfalls of social media, everybody posting that same picture.
Exactly, exactly. And that is what people will want to differentiate with. They will want to show different pictures. They will want to be seen as people who are capable of looking at things from a different angle and therefore post different images.
Jürg Schmid sees a countertrend to all the posting on social media.
Everywhere they are, they tweet, they post, they like. But I see also, that's an interesting, I see a trend to the opposite. Being able to switch off the mobile starts to become a luxury. And there's a new trend. There are people, and these are people from the very high income sector, they are always online 24 hours in their business. And when they go on vacation, they look for places where they can be offline. I think to every trend there is a countertrend. And the countertrend to the overload of information we have by the social medias is to say stop. TMI, too much information, stop it.
Who knows, maybe here in Switzerland they can find that quiet corner.
I mean, we have some mountain valleys, some beautiful alpine huts that we offer, by the way, on our myswitzerland.com, where you really have, with absolute guarantee, no access.
If you do have internet access, you can see all the highlights of the Grand Tour mapped out online. Click on Zermatt, for example, and you get hiking tips. Those would be something for Chris Doyle, executive director of the European arm of the Adventure Travel Trade Association. He isn't so big on selfies, but when he was in Zermatt for a tourism conference, the sight of the Matterhorn called for a quick post on Facebook.
I was so exuberant on my trail run, I couldn't help it. I had to take a picture, and there was nobody around to take my picture, so I turned my you know, iPhone 6 around, took a picture, and my smile was genuine. And in those cases where you're just so moved, I can see that. The really aggressive use of selfies and all of that, I think to each his own, to each her own, it's not me. I think there's a time and place to put the camera away. I do have a digital SLR that I take when I'm trying to do serious photography. But I personally find the more I keep technology in my backpack, the richer and deeper the experience I have.
Zermatt is celebrating the 150th anniversary of the first Matterhorn ascent. For Chris Doyle, the mountain has always been part of the grand tour in his mind.
I grew up with the Matterhorn in our family's history. And even when I was a young child, late 60s, my grandfather used to tell us about, and he's from Germany, from Bopart on the Rhine. And he used to tell me about his travels all over Europe and to the Matterhorn. It was just one of his favorite places. Well, it turns out after he migrated to Brazil and then on to California, he ended up working on a steel crew that built the Matterhorn at Disneyland in Anaheim, California, and that was in the 1950s. And so our whole family grew up with the Matterhorn on the mind. Well, 2 days ago, I just arrived in Zermatt, and I got to see the Matterhorn for the first time. So I did share that social media only with my family, though. And everybody was going crazy because they're, oh, that's what Grandpa used to talk about. So they were really excited to see it.
And what was it like to actually get the first glimpse of it?
Well, I'm kind of an emotional sort. So, yeah, tears welled up. And I think it's tied to my grandfather's legacy with our family. So even now talking about it, it kind of, it rips the heartstrings for me. Yeah, I just love. And we're sitting here right under it, staring at this while we're interviewing. And it's pretty powerful.
And what does the future hold? Professor Remy Valbaum predicts that in 50 years, people might not really go anywhere at all. Do you think it's really possible that people would be content with just some sort of a virtual reality trip, going into a dark room with a big pair of goggles?
They already do, and they love it. Some of the kids already spend all weekend playing games on virtual reality, so it's already a reality for some of the youngest generation. And on the other end, for tourism, I think people will have little choice because the planes will be full, the airport will be filled, and they still want to experience things different, and they will still want to travel. So one good way of visiting Paris could be to, if you don't have the money to visit Paris, to stop on the outskirts of Shanghai and experience the trip with Googles.
But you don't think that it'll ever go out of style to visit a place, breathe its air, hear its sounds, meet the people?
No, that will remain. That will remain because we have here in Switzerland, we have things that are great assets. I mean, seeing the water float going down the rivers here in Zermatt is an asset which we don't understand. But it's, I mean, when you've been to India several times and you see these rivers, the pure joy of seeing clear waters going down the mountains is going to be immense, and people will still want to experience that.
Will enough people decide they want to experience the real Grand Tour? Time will tell whether it can generate enough likes and shares to drive tourists to the high-price island of Switzerland. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for more on this and other stories. Thanks for joining me on this virtual tour, and thank you to studio technician Daniel Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.